Radio.
I guess we should be nice.
Carry on, my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? This is Psychic Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. How you doing? This is Block Talk Radio, and we're all hanging out. Tonight's Missing Spiritual Link Tuesday. We're going to be talking about Atlantis. Is it real or was it real? It's one of those situations of focusing on the situation of maybe Atlantis still exists. There's a reason we can't find it because they don't want to be found. Also, we're going to talk about Atlantis, and we're also going to be going a little bit over a lot of things, insights about Atlantis. Are people still alive? Is there still influences? Look at the situation of how much Atlantis has really influenced the planet. It's just one of those things you have to take a little closer look and see the whole thing. Also, tonight, we did this when I first started the show, where we give away readings. And what we're doing we're doing free readings tonight, and we're also doing past life readings. So if you want to find out if you're Atlantean or not, give us a call at 646-721-9031. Or, you know, the idea of the situation. Like I said, we're giving away free readings. So for the 10th caller, you will win a 45-minute reading. So call in and see if you can win that. For the 10th caller, that's a 45-minute reading. It's an angel card reading. So join us for the fun. We're going to have a great show. I also have a co-host who's joining me, Bree. You there, Bree?
I am.
So, how's it going with you? Introduce yourself to the people out here and tell them who you are. You're not a politician, are you?
No.
I was going to say, if you're a politician, you got to go.
Good thing I'm not.
Yes, that's a good thing, too. No, you live in my...
out.
You're right. So you live in Montana.
Yes, I do.
So with Montana, do you have a lot of mountains around you right now?
Where I live, yes, we do. Most of it is flat.
Okay. That can be kind of crazy, huh? Yeah. Well, flat ground makes it easier to get to the mountains, right?
Yeah, we have crazy weather, though, from the mountains, so...
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to bring up, too. You told me that you guys had an earthquake out there today.
Yes, we did, about 1 this morning. We had a 4.1. There was 4 towns that felt it.
Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel, are you serious?
Yeah, it hit on the borderline of Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't do much damage, but it took out our cell phone service, and they're trying to get that repaired, and, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But no major damage, thankfully.
Really? Well, that's good. So the earthquake was close to Idaho, so no potatoes started rolling into your town or something? Nothing major like that, right?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, some of Montana's still getting an aftershock, so.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying.
1.5, so they're not bad.
Right. Well, it depends where you're at the time, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what I was thinking, you know, love and light. But how sometimes love and light, you just want to run.
Yep.
So with the situation the earthquake happened this morning, was it one of those things where you just didn't know what to do?
Yeah, Montana doesn't get very much earthquakes. I don't remember when the last time it was, but
mm-hmm.
Kind of catches you off guard.
I bet, yeah. No, that makes sense to me, you know. It's like, I was looking at the situation there, I mean, I'm not making no sense in the world making fun of you or nothing, but I mean, being in a wheelchair, I mean, when you have an earthquake or something like that happens, does that kind of freak you out more than most?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, you're sitting there going, okay, I got to get somewhere, but it's not like me. It's like me and a friend of mine. We can just walk anywhere we go, run. You know, you have to take into other considerations, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'm not trying to put you on the spot or nothing. Just, you know. Curiosity of mine too. I was sitting going, "Gosh, how do you deal with that?" I mean, to me, it probably freaked me out.
Well, it's just like, it's just, you know, it starts happening and then, like, your mind just goes blank and it's like, you know, what was that? And then all of a sudden it clicks and it's like, oh my gosh, it really did happen.
Yeah, because the reason I was thinking about that too, because like when we were back in the early, well, actually late 70s, we had an earthquake come through Ohio, and I was actually my bedroom was actually in the basement, and I got shaken out of my bed, so that was kind of different. You know, we don't have earthquakes in Ohio either, and all this thing come rumbling through, and the next thing I was laying on the floor going, what the hell just happened? And this is not like a wooden floor, it was concrete floor, so a little bit different, you know. Seems like lately I've been reminded about how concrete floors and how hard they really are, but that's another story.
Yeah, it's...
But,
it kind of leaves you numb at first.
Huh?
It kind of leaves you numb at first, it did with me.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know how I would react in the first place. I mean, the only time I ever experienced an earthquake was then, and I was asleep. So all I know is I end up on the floor. So, you know, I never had that kind of thing. And then I've actually lived in California 3 times. And I've never experienced an earthquake. So, you know, people are like, really? Seriously? Yes, I'm serious. Can't you see the seriousness on my face? Oh, that's right, we're radio, aren't we? So I guess you can't see that one going on. But, you know, the situation and everything like that. We're talking about Atlantis tonight. I mean, have you ever had any notions, thoughts, or any kind of drawing to Atlantis stuff, Pri? You're more of a science person than you are a history person, huh?
Yes.
Well, we can sit here and explore that whole situation about the science of Atlantis. People have talked about energy sources and crystals and that kind of thing, and I thought it was kind of a cool thing. Because we were actually talking about it on I used to have a daytime show we used to call The Missing Spiritual Link. And it was me and Courtney used to do it. And we used to talk about Atlantis quite a bit. And we were talking about crystals, and people were kind of freaking out about the crystal thing because they don't realize the potential crystals. It's been known that if you take a crystal about the size of your arm, you could actually take the Library of Congress and basically store it on that crystal. Kind of makes you think, don't it?
Yeah, that does.
So we were talking about it on the show, and I said the vision that I got was basically I saw the Atlanteans, and they're a very positive civilization. Of using positive energy as a whole, to use that, and then using crystals and the combination of both, they created an energy source that was an endless power source, but it was also conscious of itself. So that was kind of different. That the Atlanteans powered themselves with anything they had. I don't know if you ever saw this movie. It was called Atlantis: The Lost Empire. It was a Disney movie. It was a Disney animated movie.
Yes, I have. Yep.
Okay. If you watch that movie, you will see that they had an energy source that was conscious of itself. If you don't, then you should go watch it again. But
yeah, it's been a while. I should
catch it. Right. Anyway, if you remember that, there's a part in there where they basically energized everything. Very powerful crystal. But what basically I said, that's where, because I was watching that movie and I was sitting there going, that's about as close as we can get to exactly what the Atlanteans had and what they were using. But instead of having a crystal that you stick in a slot and putting your hand on a pad and then turning the crystal to get this machine to operate, I said, take the crystal away and take your hand away, and you still have the power source, but it's more of the telepathic way. You know, we have cars now that you can actually start before you go outside.
Yeah.
I said, imagine that you being in a civilization where you could just think cars start. Okay?
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, because we're sitting here saying, I said, think of it. I said, don't think about, because you know, people say, you know, Atlantis and high technology and that kind of stuff. They don't realize the ideal. If you had the capability of telepathic abilities and moving objects and that kind of stuff, first of all, you wouldn't need cell phones because you could just communicate with each other. The same thing with communicating with each other. It's also been proven that we're all energy. So therefore, it's the ideal of learning how to do that. And the ideal manifestation, it was just to be doing things at will. Also focusing on seeing things as in mass meditations. You know, imagine a town hall where everybody's not yelling and screaming at each other. Imagine that they're all sitting there with their knees crossed and they're all meditating together and maintaining this positive energy throughout the whole civilization. Because Atlanteans focused on the individual. The strength within an individual strengthens society. So they all work together. But they can't all work together unless they're strong within the individual, within themselves. So it makes you think about situations of working and that kind of stuff and where we're heading to with this culture, our civilization, because it seems like we're heading back to that meditation, focusing on chakras and that kind of stuff, and now we're realizing how important it really is. Did you explore anything when you was in science about crystals and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yes. We had about a few weeks that we learned about the crystals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we was also doing the show, and somebody put some links in the chat room, and they found these, and it was kind of funny, too, because we were also going over this theory that people had a theory that Atlantis was in Iceland, that was in the Bermuda Triangle, which is in Florida, in the Gulf of Mexico, China, Japan, and I think, Australia. There's like five or six places that people think Atlantis is. Then we have the main one, which is the Mediterranean. And I said, what if I gave you a theory that they're all right, and what they're actually focusing on is these civilizations outside of Atlantis that were still connected to Atlantis? Or do you even see the point of Atlantis still existing in the Mediterranean, but underneath the water? I did a couple of past life readings for somebody, and a couple of people really, and saw these under the water cities that were engulfed in these big blue, aqua blue forest fields. I saw one in Japan. I saw one in the Bermuda Triangle, which is between I think the Caribbean and Florida. I also saw one in Iceland, one by somewhere around in between the ideal, because I keep seeing Scotland and Australia, and then China. So like at least five. I kept on seeing six too as well. So it was kind of interesting to see that maybe these outposts still exist. They're underneath the water and they're basically being protected by these force fields, which actually are powered by these crystals, this power source they came up with. So if you think about it, you would never have to come up, would you? It's an endless power source. It's based on society. As long as the society maintains focus on nothing but peace and love, that energy powers the crystal. The crystal powers the civilization, and it's a continuous thing. And if you sit here and look at it, we sit here talking about this too. That was kind of funny when we're sitting here going, think about it, man. We have this big power source that everybody focuses on, and it's conscious of itself because of the consciousness that's put upon it. I said, boy, it sounds like the economy, doesn't it? No matter, depending on which way you look at it, because people feed a lot into the economy. It seems when they're thinking positive about it, it seems to work for us in a positive way. When we think about it negatively, we get the opposite. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
So with the Atlanteans, as long as everybody stayed positive, and then when you had an individual who wasn't at full par, you know, they would work with that individual until they were strong within themselves. It wasn't simply just, here's $5 or here's some money. This will solve the problem. No, they never thought about that. It was like, look at the situation. This person needed to be strong within themselves. They knew that what that was about. You know, what is real love, you know?
Right.
But loving oneself. So therefore, they put it all together. And then we have Outpost. I was doing a past life reading for a couple of people. I have one lady in particular. She lived in Canada. She lived more in the desert part of Canada. But I saw her in a past life where she was basically, she lived in one of these outposts, but it was in Iceland. It was under the water. And what they would do from time to time, they would come to the surface. And what was so funny about this past life reading was when she came to Iceland, there was no ice here. It was a landmass. And actually, Iceland does have a landmass underneath all the ice. So that kind of puts you in a situation of seeing this past life with this person that was before there was snow caps or ice caps on top of Iceland. This is where we're picturing this person to be at. So this outpost of Atlantis kind of gives you kind of a time zone where it was at, which would probably be about approximately 11,000 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had another one. I did another past life reading for a person who was actually living in an outpost underneath the ocean in the Bermuda Triangle, because what they used to do, they used to come out, go to the surface and go to these islands and collect bananas because they got tired of seaweed after a while. And it was kind of funny to see these things too, because I was like, if you guys were trying to figure out the idea, they got force fields. Okay, if you got a force field over top of you, how do you get out? I said, well, if you ever seen any Star Trek movies where you actually see what they call those things. Oh, those little freaking crafts. Anyway, they were going in
there. My mind just went blank.
Yeah, because I'm sitting looking at the situation going, you know something? I'm thinking about shuttle. What was it, shuttles? Shuttlecrafts. They were shuttlecrafts. Anyway, you can see the shuttlecrafts going in and out through this force field. And I'm going to say, if you see Star Trek, you'll see that they have force fields that you can go through that keeps everything out, but you can go through them back and forth. In one movie, they actually call them liquid walls, where it's the idea of taking a force field and basically hitting it with a certain current, and it will create a brick wall. And then you could actually loosen the current up, and then it dissipates. So you can actually travel through it. So they go walking through walls, okay? So I said, I see all this stuff going on. I see this lady going, and they're going to get bananas and coconuts and that kind of stuff. Atlanteans were very good about intersecting with nature. I mean, picture a culture 11,000 years before Plato, actually having running water inside bathrooms. They had this really cool thing of, like I said before, of intersecting with nature, where they built their houses into the ground, like we have a basement, but there's the top part would be kind of opened, and then they built shutters and stuff that would actually filter the air through the house to cool it off too as well. So they had air conditioning, they had heating, they had all their thing, but it was basically just mixing with nature and them living as one. And then we have these things living under the ocean that were doing the exact same thing too as well. Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So what are you thinking about?
It's interesting.
That's all you got to say? I was sitting there talking to my friend Candy O'Donnell. She has a show here on Block Talk Radio called Literacy Scribes. She's in the mornings. I was actually on her show this morning. This was in the midst of me, the idea of my screen being broke on my laptop and stuff. And I was supposed to, I think it was an hour show, and I made it for the last half hour. I finally went to my mom's computer and went down and got on the show and talked to her and stuff. And she wrote a book. I think it's called, I used to have that information too. I didn't pull it up because I've been so busy today trying to get this computer up and getting another computer to replace that one that the screen got broke on. I never had time to do my own research. But she has I got it here somewhere too. There's a book out there called Plato's Lost Civilization, Atlantis, Lost Continent, Finally Found. It's by, I think this guy's name's Osros, also, it's spelled A-R-Y-S-I-O, I want to say Iso Santos, professor. He wrote this book, but it was kind of funny. I saw this book, and it was written back in, I think it was 97. And I just saw this thing on the situation of, picked up on their website and found this guy. But it was kind of funny. I came up with this theory, and I said, you know, I think Atlanteans don't want to be found. And I said, the reason I come up with this theory, I keep seeing these things. Every time I talk to people about these past lives and seeing this civilization underneath the ocean in these five or six different places. And I said, the one thing I get the most, too, is picking up on them and seeing that they still exist. And then I saw there was like at least three or four people who have been interested in finding Atlantis, and they get really close, and all of a sudden they lose interest in it. And I said, well, think about this for a minute. If you had a culture that was very, very talented with telepathic abilities, couldn't they make you think? Couldn't they like divert you to go somewhere else? We're not here. Go somewhere else. And then it would just happen. Because I did the research on that. Every time I found somebody, we're talking 10 years ago. Then we had the one back in the day. There's a couple other books and two, that kind of thing. But they also they said they were so close to finding it, and then you never hear nothing about. And then you never hear nothing beyond that. So I was kind of looking at the situation going, we had a nice show, too. You should have heard this show. It was Atlanteans. We were talking about, I did a reading for a lady once, and it was six Atlanteans that actually came to Egypt. And even scientists were kind of baffled, too, because at that time, Egyptians were wandering in the desert. A band of Egyptians just wandering the desert. All of a sudden, they got motivated to build this great civilization. And we were like, okay, where's the common denominator? What motivated this band of Egyptians just to start this big old empire, you know? When before that, they didn't care. They were just wandering the desert, you know? Had little huts and little teepees, and I kind of, well, not teepees, but, you know, just wandering the desert, right? And then I did a past life reading for a couple of people who were actually part of these six Atlanteans that when, because I told a friend of mine, I said, we're talking about the five or six outposts of Atlantis. Now you're thinking to yourself, okay, if Atlantis was destroyed by a volcano in the Mediterranean and they had survivors, why didn't these survivors go to these outposts that were extensions of Atlantis? And I said, well, Atlanteans were focused on the now. So Atlanteans in the Mediterranean were focusing on their lives and how they were unfolding where they were at. And these other outposts were doing the exact same thing. So how would we put this? So there were certain officials that knew all about them, but it wasn't the top of the priority because each one of these outposts that were extensions of Atlantis were like Atlantis too. They were self what's the word? They were self efficient. So they were Atlanteans from Atlantis, but they wasn't living or any kind of how would you put this? If you ever studied any history back in the day when this country became independent with the Revolutionary War and that kind of stuff, we kind of depended on England. Okay, we had all kinds of exports and imports and that kind of thing, but Atlanteans were not like that. They had a lot of things they were exporting and importing, but they didn't do it because they had to. It was just the idea, focusing on revenue and that kind of stuff. They just loved doing it. They didn't need it. So I'm saying, I don't know if that makes any sense or not, but they didn't meet him anyway. Anyway, so we sit there and go, okay, we have Egyptians. So some of the Atlanteans that were survivors, the one of the island, the main Atlantis in the Mediterranean, some of them didn't know about these outposts. They didn't go there. There was other people who were aware of these outposts, decided not to go there. So they kind of like struck out on their own too. So we have six people who decided to go to Egypt. And I mean, just imagine, you just lost your freaking world. You knew it was going to happen because I've always felt on these Egyptians, not the Egyptians, these Atlanteans knew days in advance before Atlantis was destroyed by a volcano. They knew in advance, and they left. But they were also in the middle of the desert when they went to Egypt, and they felt, I think it was one of those things of just being in the desert to create something that would remind them of where they came from. it's like looking in the middle of a land, of how would you put this, in the Mediterranean, and even some of the outposts, of picturing a pyramid that would be 10 times bigger than the Great Pyramid. That would make you think, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's.
Are you paying attention?
Yes, I am.
You're just so deep in thought about this whole, huh?
Yeah.
No, what happened was these six came, because we were talking about the people who have past lives, and they're talking about they're scared to use their powers and their abilities and that kind of stuff because they were bad people in Atlantis. No, let's take it one step further and look at the situation like this. You have six people who come from Atlantis. They come to Egypt. They help these bands of Egyptians create a big empire. Okay, in the process, they're not connected to the whole anymore. So, you know, when you have positive energy around you all the time, it's easy to be positive. You know, you don't want to be mean or nothing like that because you don't have to. But here you are in the middle of the desert, and you have people who are trying to create this thing called competition. So in the process of creating this kind of chaos, you had a couple of Atlanteans who misused their powers that exploited, I guess you would say, exploited the little people, the Egyptians, with their abilities and that kind of stuff. And this is where we come up with the idea, like northern gods and Roman gods, when they wasn't gods at all. There were some of them that were actually alien races, and then there were some of them that were actually Atlanteans who had abilities to do certain things that these primitive men would look at as gods when they wasn't gods. They were just more advanced men. So in the process, that's why we have this thing with so many people who have past lives who are scared to do something with their abilities because of how they misused them when they created the empire, Egypt. Mm-hmm. And actually, there was a couple of people I've done past life readings for who also don't use their abilities too because of seeing these people do this and not saying anything because they didn't know what to do. So they just kind of like sit back and say, well, in my next life, I'm not going to do that, so I won't do it. So I got a vision of a pharaoh called Khufu, who was actually the one who was supposed to have been the one who built the Great Pyramid. And every time I've ever done any past lives, what I would see was I would always see these people working on stones and the temples. And there is a temple right across. There was a temple anyway. There's actually ruins now, but that was actually right across the Great Pyramid. So it wasn't just the pyramids themselves. There were also temples and that kind of stuff. It was like a little community. And every time I do with past life readings, I would always see these people working on these stones and working on the temple and stuff. But I never really saw anybody work on the pyramid. So I started focusing on that too as well. And I sat there and got a vision of Khufu actually building the Great Pyramid with his telepathic abilities by moving stones. And what was so wild about the whole thing was he got so arrogant and said, I could do it myself, and so fast, because they actually did the math on this. They said, and it says in history, that it actually took 28 years to build the Great Pyramid. And they were saying, well, if that's the case, and if you do the math, that means they were putting a block in. They were basically putting a block in place about every 2 minutes.
Oh,
and when we see all these pictures of all these people pulling these blocks into place and towing them up those freaking ramps and that kind of stuff, then you start looking at those things going, it's amazing. Why would you do that? I've seen a lot of cultures who don't really go into detail how they built their pyramids and how they built their cultures and that kind of stuff. You just know they did, right? But the Egyptians were trying to make you believe. And I said, it's kind of funny how many people will sit there and take visuals and that kind of stuff, and they try to push it on you and say, this is how it's done. And you just feel like the more they try to convince you of something, the more they're lying to you. And like I've always said, the more you try to convince me of anything, the less I believe you. So I was like, okay, they got pictures and stuff, but when you do the math, it doesn't add up. So I got this vision of Khufu actually building the Great Pyramid. He got arrogant, overextended himself, and he actually, and if you look into history about Khufu, you really can't find nothing about him either. They've only found a statue of him, and it's about 2 or 3 inches tall. And they're actually even debating if it's even him or not, because it's so small and so thing, but you cannot find anybody. They knew he existed. They knew that he did the whole thing he did, but why does he not exist in the sense of finding history about this man? So the vision I saw was him, he died of an aneurysm.
Wow.
Because he overextended his brain too much, had an aneurysm in his brain, had a blood vessel bust. So he died. And there's nothing about his death either. So I was like, maybe they were embarrassed because they couldn't figure out how he died. What happened? He goes, I mean, think about it. We're talking about Egyptians were kind of, they were really, really far advanced too. But some of the people that were doing some of the things in the Egyptian culture, it's like, think about it. You have like 6 or 7 people. And I also got a vision that Khufu was actually the last of the Atlanteans. He had sons, but he also died before he could actually pass on the knowledge he knew to his sons. Because if you look at his sons, they built pyramids too, but not quite the size of his. And they did, on those, I do see people working on those pyramids. So it's a different format. But I don't see people working on the Great Pyramid. But I do see these other people working on these other pyramids. So it seems like he didn't have, the process of him doing what he did, he never had time to teach his sons about their abilities. So basically, that Atlantean culture and that kind of stuff in that kind of format died out. Because it wasn't able to be passed on, because the person who had the knowledge died before he could pass it on. So there we have the story about the Great Pyramid. So, guys, oh, I'm sorry, sweetie, what?
Oh, no, I was just, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
So I'm going to have to do some research now.
Yeah, you were supposed to do some research tonight. Today, you're supposed to get some things on Atlantis and in the Garden of Eden and just do some research. And I guess.
Oh, yeah, totally spaced it out.
Yeah, too much coffee.
Yeah.
Coffee can be good sometimes, but not all the time. Right? I guess you agree with that one, right? Just a little bit?
Right.
Exactly. So we sit there and go, oh, my gosh. And what kind of coffee do you drink, Bree?
Folgers.
Folgers? Good to the last drop. Okay, thank you. while we're doing commercials here, we might as well go over a little bit of stuff. I do private readings, and if you want to reach me for a private reading, the number is 740-601-9835. Also, you can reach me through my website, which is www.psychic-dash. It's like a little thing you put between the numbers when you do a phone number. It's journeyman.yolasite.com. Again, that's www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Or contact me through my number, 740-601-9835. And right now, usually for people who call the show, it's usually a $65 for a 60-minute session. If you call in now and make a book of reading with me while we're on the air on any of my shows, I'll give you an additional 10% off. Just let me tell me what it is. Tell me what's up. You know, if I don't know, I can't do that. But let me know and do what you got to do. We also, it's like look at the situation saying, please donate to the show and help, you know, help support the show, help us keep going, that kind of thing. And I'm also trying to get back to Colorado, so help me with that situation. Help me get home. Help me support the show, that kind of thing. And for all the people who have donated to the show, thank you very much. I appreciate every dollar, every penny. So therefore, thank you. I appreciate it. And then, I tell people to go to the website, check out my prices. Okay, just check the prices out. But there are only places to start. If you have a deal that you want to throw on the table, please call and let me know. I have not turned anybody down. Okay, so donate to the show. And for the people who have, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Also, I was going to go over the single Timmy Sync CDs, things I usually meditate with, and I've actually told Bree about them. because I can help you in all kinds of situations. It's called HemiSync CDs. And if you want to check them out, go to Hemi. Well, actually, it's www.hemi, it's H-E-M-I dash sync, S-Y-N-C .com. What it is, it's HemiSync technology. Is basically there's a tone underneath the music, and they have all kinds of music, all kinds of spiritual music. They have they actually have a couple CDs I had that actually had symphony music on it, Bach and that kind of stuff. There's CDs that I actually use to go to. They're better than sleeping pills. They're really good. Let's see. So check them out. They actually have little samplers on there you can check out too on Hemi-Sync.com. There's also another company called, and those are, like I said, it's a tone that resonates to the brain that helps hemispheres work together to give you increased focus and really deep meditation. And no, good. Let me say this again. It gives you intense focus and concentration for great meditation. I wasn't sure where he was going to get that out. So check it out. But it's just a tone. It's a great technology. You should definitely check it out. They got CDs for cancer. They got CDs for connecting with your guides, your angels, dreams, dimensions, anything you can think of. So check out the site. I think you'd be really impressed. And I've actually got 4 or 5 of these CDs myself. A couple of my friends, they love them. So check them out yourself. They've really helped me out a lot, too, focusing and balance, getting balanced with it, within the body. There's also another company out there called BrainSync, BrainSync.com. Those are subliminal CDs, but they're a different technology than it was back in the 70s, so check those out too. I've actually got 3 of those, and basically it's just one's how to attract love. There's also the other one's called the World Meditation 1 and 2, which you talk. Those are basically good meditations of to work with when you're trying to manifest things. Manifest, I guess you'd call them manifestation CDs. So check them out. I did have the numbers, but for some reason I can't find that information. But I guarantee if you go to the website, it's easy to get there. Just put that. You can just put HemiSync in there and it'll pop up. So check it out. Hey, we do have a caller tonight too. Let's see. It's, you know, 6. What do you say, Breeze? You want to take some calls?
Yes, that would be awesome.
All right. You sure? All right. Here we go. Okay, area code 514, welcome to the show. How are you tonight? What's your name?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, this is Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing good. Say hello to Bree.
Hello, Bree. Hi, Sherry. How are you?
How are you,
I'm
Bree?
I'm doing good. How are you? I'm well.
She had to think about it for a minute today.
I lost my breath for a second. Sorry.
Okay. I thought maybe it might have been the coffee kind of winding down now, and she's dozing off. Hey, you never know, man. That's how hit you. I mean, sometimes when you drink too much coffee or any kind of energy drinks, you have a nice little crash at the end, you know?
I do. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, Sherry, do you have a couple questions for us, too?
Yes, I'd love to just get a general, like, life reading from you, and anything in particular on love or finances, of course, is always of interest.
So is it really a general reading, or are we looking at finances and love?
let's do finances and love, because that's...
Okay, so which one you like first? For some reason, I want to go to the love thing first. I don't know what it is.
Then that's what I want. I want whatever you're picking up first.
So Sherry, can you 541? What is that? Where is that at?
Well, I believe it's in Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking for a state there. So I'm not familiar with Oregon. I am Portland, but when it comes to the other one you just said, that one didn't ring a bell.
No.
Let's see what the situation. Hold up, I'm trying to focus on, I'm getting used to this new computer I just got today, so bear with me. It is a cool computer, because my last computer, all the wires came out of the end of it, the laptop. So I had speakers and my headset and stuff like that coming out the end of it, so it was kind of hard to do my cards. This one here, everything's on the side, so it's actually giving me more room. And for some reason, I'm having a tough time getting used to all the room. I don't know why. That's crazy. So with the situation with your life, I keep getting this really strong impression with you that love is a very important thing to you that actually makes everything else go around. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
So when things are focused and balanced within your relationships, then you seem happy and focused, and then you always know what to do.
Right.
And it's almost like you're looking for that focus, because I don't feel like you're in a relationship right now.
You're right.
So, you know, it's like, and I'm shuffling the cards, so we haven't even got the cards yet. So, and I always sit here and say it like this, guys. I really think that people really need to get the, sometimes when it comes to readings, a two or three minute reading to me is almost like running a tape recorder fast. You know, sometimes you don't get a lot out of those things, so we try to go as much detail as possible. And since you're the first one to call in tonight, we'll just sit here and take our time. What do you think?
I would love that until you say no.
All right.
I was kind of hoping to be the 10th caller, though.
Well, if no one else shows up, we might just give it to you anyway. Because I usually tell people, we like doing free readings from time to time like that. I'm not saying we don't. And I always tell people, we try to put this out there, this is the truth. You're receiving it for free, but I guarantee you're not. It's not being given free. You know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Because on Friday and Saturday shows, on Sunday, I feel like I got hit by a bus. And also, everybody out there, join us for our Friday and Saturday shows. We actually have two shows, one at 9 and one at midnight. And what's so wild about the whole thing is one ends at midnight. So we're actually on the air for like 5 hours. And it's all for you.
You have pretty pictures on your site.
What's that?
I said you have pretty pictures on your site.
Yes, I do. You know, I sit and saw those pictures, and I've always had a fascination for unicorns, and I was even told that my animal guide is a unicorn. This is why I'm so excited about going back to Colorado. I was sitting there going, come on, everybody, let's all work together. Just, you know, because we're going to have a show here in the next 2 weeks. What we're going to do is, and maybe it's something for the month, whoever donates the most money is going to get something really special. I just haven't really determined exactly what that special thing is. So if anybody wants to give any suggestions on that whole thing, I'm all ears. Because when it comes to donations and people donating that kind of stuff and saying, okay, whoever donates the most will get this, I think it has to be something that's very special for that person, because that person is really giving a lot of themselves, you know?
Well, you should do those CDs you mentioned.
I should what?
One of those CDs.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I think what we'll do is we'll do like a, because usually when you do the HemiSync CDs.
Yeah, because that sounded really good when you were saying it, so.
Yeah. I'm trying to get the, this is why I can't wait, guys. Donate some money so I can get me a headset. It's cordless, so I can actually go over to my little bookshelf here and get the information, because I got the phone numbers for HemiSync CDs. And I'm sort of going, I wish I could go over there, but this, I don't think this cord is long enough.
Those are nice.
All right. So now with the situation, Sherry?
Mm-hmm.
All I need one more thing. It's your birthday.
Well, I just got my birth certificate. I knew the birthday. I didn't know the birth time. It's 4/11/73.
4/11/73. And you're in Oregon?
I'm actually in Texas.
You're actually in Texas. Now that I didn't see.
Love to be in Colorado or Oregon, somewhere where there's mountains and water and woods and.
So what was the wrong decision you made that put you in Texas?
Listening to my mother.
That'll do it every time.
No, that wasn't the wrong decision. The wrong decision to get to this town was listening to her, but being in Texas was not a bad idea.
Okay.
At the time.
at the time, now it's one of those things of passé, right?
Well, I'm in the desert, and it's not me.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have people around you that are dry and long-winded, right?
Definitely dry.
Well, there's some people around you that have a tendency not to say anything. But that could be classified as long-winded because they're not saying anything. It's a long,
right.
drawn-out thing. That's what I got. So I was just, you know, trying to put the whole thing. But see, the one thing I get the most is be courageous and stand up for what you believe, and you want to leave.
Yeah.
When I say
but
strong,
no bad moves, you know, no mistakes, if I can help it.
No, I'm just saying, with the situation being courageous, that means putting it out to the universe. You know, I'm tired of, I wouldn't want to say the tired thing either. I just want to, to me it comes on, it's time to go.
Right.
And you're being drawn into someplace, and you should let yourself go. You know, it's like you feel responsible for somebody right now, and it's kind of holding you back from going any further. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I'm letting him go.
Okay.
You know, I'm getting to where it's okay in my mind to just leave, but also I believe it's love-related, so I'm kind of trying to save myself a trip.
Okay, you're trying to save yourself a trip by not going.
By waiting till my love is, or figuring out something in that arena, because I feel like it's related.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just sort of saying the situation of being pulled. That's what they were saying before about letting yourself go.
Right.
Because it's like, the thing that comes to me most is the idea, because my ex-fiance was a situation where, you know, it's like playing itself out for like 2 or 3 years. And in, you know, the first 2 years, it was constantly waiting and focusing and going, okay, I can't believe that God and the angels brought us together if we wasn't supposed to be together, okay? But in the same mix of the whole thing, we still have free will. So people have a tendency to do certain things. And in her particular situation, she chooses not to move on. She chooses to live the same thing over and over again. She's almost like a ghost trapped in a freaking vortex where she just keeps reliving the same stuff over and over again. But it wasn't until I got away from it for 3 years and looked back at it when she did come back in my life and looking at it going, she's still 3 years behind me.
Right.
And I was asking myself if I actually wanted to go back, which I said no.
Well, I'm kind of like your Colorado situation. At least you know where you are going. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I'd like to go, and it'll require finances, I'm sure.
Well, you know something, Sherry? That's one thing I like to stress to people, too. The idea of opening your mind up and being courageous for what you want and letting it happen the way it's going to happen might not take money. It's the idea of faith and that kind of stuff. Because let me give you credit, okay? I lived in Colorado for 4 years. Now, this is the story how I got there. I was working for a company called Crystal Clear. And it's a different kind of format of doing readings and stuff where I'm on call, and what they do, they have people calling into an office, and then they'll call me and say, here, call this person, and I called him. Well, I had a client in Colorado, and I remember this very clearly because I was sitting there one night going, you know, when I went to California, I went through Colorado a couple times, and I went through around, I guess you would say Christmas and that kind of stuff, and I saw some of the places that were like the lights and Christmas and that kind of stuff, and we always went through nights, and I was like fascinated with the whole thing, where I was like, I want to go to Colorado. And I just nonchalantly said that one day, and one night, where I just want to go to Colorado. So here I was in Wisconsin. I was working for this company. This lady, a week later, calls me up that I've been working with, who lived in Colorado, and asked me if I'd like to go to Colorado. I'm sitting there going, I about dropped the phone. And I'm sitting there going, I said, what'd you say? And she's like, would you like to come to Colorado? I'm like, that's so weird because I was just thinking about this a week ago. I would like to go to live in Colorado. And she said, well, I'm starting this new mortgage company. And she says, you got a great voice, and I'd love for you to come work for me. And you could actually become a loan officer, which could make about $2,000 a month. And I'm like, I could like that.
I did that before. It's so cool.
Yes. But see, what happened was I told the lady flat out, and this is one thing we have to learn how to do is ask for what we want. I sat there and told her, I said, so what you're saying is, and I can sense it on her too. That's why I followed through with it too. And I said, you also want to work with me too, and she was a psychic. And she says, oh, yes, most definitely. And I said, well, if you want to do that, then before I go anywhere, because I've gone through a couple of situations and mishaps with people who said this, that, and the other, but never really followed through. I said, what you got to do is, I have no travel money. Okay, so therefore I would need I need travel money to get there. I said, I need a job, which you're giving me, so that's cool. And then I need a place to live. And I said, if you can solve all those things, I'd love to come to Colorado. I was thinking, I'm not going to hear from this lady, huh? I was smiling to face to face and going, wow, it'd be great if I could go to Colorado. But at the same time, I was like, I wonder if she's actually really going to call back. I put it out there, and I told her exactly that's what I want. Or I'm not going anywhere. Well, the lady called me back in 20 minutes, and she's like, well, you can rent our basement out and help us finish it. It's like basically a finished basement. I said, okay. She goes, you're going to be working for me, so you got that covered. And then she said, I talked to my husband, and he said, we're going to rent an SUV, and I'm going to come pick you up.
Oh, my God.
This lady drove all the way from Colorado to Wisconsin, picked me up, and took me back to Colorado.
That is so awesome.
And so, you see, sometimes I tell people all the time, it's the idea of putting it out there. And when I got to Colorado, when the reason I liked about Colorado was it seemed like everything I'd asked for, as soon as I put myself out there, I'm going to shoot these people in the sound. So I went up there, and I remember getting an apartment, I remember getting a hotel, and I never had money. Not saying I didn't get any money afterwards, but it seemed like the things always came before, and then the money came after. So that's where I was supposed to be at, because they gave me the money to keep it. But it was just the way that things came along and everything fell into place. I mean, I actually had a house one time where I was, I don't remember this too. My ex-fiance was like, how are we going to do this? I think we should live in a trailer. I said, forget that. I'm going to work on my manifestation skills. I'm not living in a freaking trailer.
Right.
I'm just saying, I lived in a trailer in Florida. And every time I was walking down the hallway, those little latches that they rolled the windows out with would always smack me in the freaking arms. And from that point on, I swore I would never live in a trailer again. So she said, what are we going to do? I said, I see a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. We were out one night, and this all started like 6 months before, because I started focusing on, I felt like I focused on $2,500. We should be able to get a house and pay for the first month, last month, any deposits or whatever, right? Move in, get the furniture, everything going on, right? So I set my sight on $2,500. And then I thought it was so funny that year, too, because she said she'd been trying to get her husband for back child support by taking these taxes, and they just never could do it. Well, for some reason, when I started focusing on my 6 months, they took his taxes.
Mm.
And guess what the first payment was?
No. Was it $2,500?
It was actually $2,560.
Mm.
So I was sitting there, so she looked at me and she goes, how do you do that? And I was like, who cares? Just keep going.
Yeah.
So next thing that we're out driving around, we was in Florida, we was driving around, and I always tell people, taking notes, man. I just got down there, so I was putting my business together, so I didn't have a job. She just started a job 2 days before that, and we were just having to drive down the street. We were looking for a haunted house. It was a very cool haunted house because a lady got murdered there. And she was actually, the lady who got murdered there, her spirit was actually giving decorating tips to the person who lived there. So we definitely had to go down and check that out and talk to this spirit and say, okay, what would you want to give this lady decorating tips for your house? And the point was, it was her house, and she wanted her house to look a certain way, even after death. She's still hanging in there.
Mm.
So we were driving down the street, and, you know, I found this. I just happened to catch a red sign out of the corner of my eye, okay? And it was a for rent sign. I turned around. I remember it was dark. My ex-fiance got out, and she wrote down the phone number. Do you realize 4 days later we moved into the house, and it was a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom home? And that's what I've been focusing on, too. And I told, one of my friends said, well, it wasn't really 2 bathrooms, because it was one bathroom only had it didn't have a shower. I said, but you have to go on the perception of me. I was looking for a 2-bathroom because you got kids, you got everybody, you know, that kind of thing. You just want another bathroom to go to. Just in case, you know, coffee in the morning, you know, breakfast, you want to run to the bathroom, the bathroom's full. To me, that was a full bath.
Right.
Okay.
It had two toilets. It worked.
And I told a friend of mine, I said, you look at other situations when you do these manifestations of saving money. I said, I went down to this place. I remember we went down, we found this place. I had to talk to a guy. I had to talk to his son to translate because his father was from the Ukraine, and he didn't speak no English. So we're sitting there talking to this guy. I'm like, I wonder if I'm actually getting through to him. I wonder if he's going to really give us this. You know, he seemed like I could feel the energy. He was positive. Next thing I know, he walked out to the front yard. He took the front sign down and threw it in the garage. And I said, that's a good sign. And then and then 2 days later, my guides came to me and said, don't take $2,500 with you. Just take $1,850. I said, $1,850. So I went to my ex-fiance and I said, when you go get the money out of the bank, just get $1,850. And she goes, well, yeah, but it's $2,300. And I said, just get $1,850. I got a sign. My guide said $1,850. She goes, okay. In that case, we'll just get $1,850 out because she said, I know how this works. So we went down there. I didn't really understand it at first because I talked to this guy and he was just, he's from Ukraine. They do things differently. I said, this place is trash. It needs to be cleaned up. And I said, I think you should knock some money off because we had to clean this place up. He goes, no. You take some paper, throw over it, be fine. I'm like, okay. So I was like, okay, they told me to do this. I know there's a reason why, right? So I said, I looked at the guy and I said, tell your dad. I said, I want to repaint the bedrooms. I said, I actually want to paint the outside a different kind of green. And my ex-fiance wants to redo the stone tile in the bathroom. I mean, not the bathroom, I'm sorry, in the kitchen and stuff. And see, at that time, it was like, I think it was $2,300 because there was actually a deposit on the dog that we never take in consideration. Well, all of a sudden, after we heard all this stuff, we want to do the house, do some electric wiring and that kind of stuff. The guy turned around, he says, you owe us $300. He said, if you do all that work, you owe me nothing. And I said, that's why I was only supposed to bring $1,850 because that's all I was going to pay. And that's exactly what happened. So I tell everybody, the reason I bring these things up is these are signs that you're in the right place. So embrace
right.
it.
Right.
And do what, and then just put yourself into it. Because I started looking at the place, too, and I started realizing it had hardwood floors. The reason I like hardwood floors and no carpeting, because I'm a psychic. I do psychic work. And I like to do barefooted. So mm-hmm. grounding on the wooden floor helps me to ground. It's for better readings. So you're going to hear the messages. And then I always liked windows. I don't like windows that slide up. I like the windows that slide sideways and to the side. And what happened was a month before we actually moved in this place, he replaced all the windows with windows that moved to the side. So, see, everything fell right into place, and we're sitting there going, I didn't have to replace the windows or nothing like that. So when you start putting money first, you're putting yourself second.
Right. But I have doors that I need open, like you're describing, that doors are open for you. And that's always what I say is, you know, mm-hmm. it's meant to be because the door's open. That's how you know. But
uh-huh.
it's like I'm in a holding pattern, and it's not that I'm afraid to move. That's not it at all. I have a home that needs to be sold, and no problem. It's a great house. That's not the issue, but I don't really know where I'm supposed to go right now, and I just know I'm supposed to go.
Well, if you don't know where you're going and there's nothing's really presenting itself, that means you're supposed to be where you're at.
Right.
And you just kind of play it by ear. But also, the one thing I got the most, too, is make sure that you're not really attached to this house.
I love the house, but this
is
the first year where I actually thought, you know what, I traded all day long for something near water.
Right.
Something where there's grass.
I'm just saying, with the situation, I mean, I'm still, me personally, too, it's like I did have a friend of mine last week who called me up and said, I just had a vision about your trip. I'm like, oh, you did? And she goes, yeah. She goes, I picture this lady who's going to Colorado who has, she described her like this. She has blonde hair, and then she has blonde highlights. So she has real hair, but not real hair. Because she classifies the highlights not being her real color, but the rest of it's a real color.
Mm, okay.
I'm sitting there going, I said, just as long as she can drive and she has a nice car, we're good to go. But she said, yes, she said, I see this person taking you to Colorado and, you know, that kind of thing. And she said, this is not the person you're supposed to be with. This is just a connection that will turn out to be a good friend and connection that you'll both have when you're in Colorado. I guess I describe it one of those situations where this is a person that you would call, like a friend, after a good or bad date to talk about it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of person, too, as well. And then She was pretty excited about it, too. She's like, you'll be definitely leaving before June. I said, hallelujah.
Good. It's coming up.
Yes. And I said, so I was looking at your situation, being courageous and prosperous. But it also is, it's just saying, just take a look at some fine points. Like I always say about fine-tuning things. It's just taking a look at situations and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you, asking yourself, am I attached to anything? And basically severing all those ties and letting it happen the way it's supposed to happen. It's like people say, I want to meet this kind of person. And I said, okay, well, do it this way. This might actually help people release it and detach from it. When you sit there and focus, you visualize, you feel it, and then you're supposed to let go of it because you believe so much in it that it's going to happen. It's already a done deal. But sometimes I have this little thing I say where I say, after I do all that, I'll say this or something better is now manifesting for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of everyone concerned. That way, you're still reaffirming it, but you're also opening the door. If there's something better, a better way, or whatever it is, you're open to all the possibilities.
Right.
Because you're very passionate, but you need to trust those, you know, trust the whole thing that goes along with it, you know. Because it's like the ideal of getting a different kind of passion with your love life and your career of where you're going to go.
Right.
Because what happens is it's the idea of focusing on the love life and the career in you. Okay, it's like having a career with yourself, a love life with yourself. This will open doors that you've been waiting to open up, even to the point of seeing doors that are kind of creeping open. I can almost see it. It would just open just a little bit more. Because it does talk about spending more time outdoors.
Right.
But when I sit there and see the outdoors, we're talking, I don't see desert. I see flowers, trees, a lot of pines.
Right.
You know, just a lot of passion.
I wish I knew where it was, because I'd put this house on the market in a heartbeat the minute it comes open.
I know, but the vision I get is the ideal of having faith and actually putting the house up on the market first. Because everything is going to fall into place like it's supposed to. Sometimes we have a tendency to, in a human sense of the word, we think about things, what if the house sells and I have no place to go? Well, if the house sells, don't you have money? I'm just saying, sometimes we still think, like the other day I was talking about, we always think about people who win the lottery, how come they get themselves in debt so quickly? It's because when they win the lottery, they can't take their minds out of the mindset of being poor.
Right.
For example, they still want to buy things on credit.
Right.
Instead of just buying out.
Not me.
Right, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's the point.
The poverty mindset.
Yeah, so it's the ideal of progressing and going forward and look at the situation and do the possibilities. Like there was one technique, and I don't know if you know them or not, Esther and Jerry Hicks, and they talk about the Abraham, and they have a book called Ask and It Is Given. And they have a technique. I actually have a couple of their books, and you should check it out. There's a technique in one of their books. What they do is, you just get your checkbook that's not attached to any checking account. Okay, you have a deposit book, you have a checks, and that kind of stuff. What you do is, you'll take and write down $1,000, deposit it each day. So the first day you deposit $1,000 into your account. What your objective is to spend it all in one day. Okay, and then every day, you go into your deposit part, and you always add $1,000 to it. And then your objective is to try to use it all up in one day. Now, I noticed, too, that when I got the $15,000, I got stumped. And it was like one of those things of I was still thinking on a lower level. Instead of looking at the situation going, I have $15,000, what can I do? Okay, my angels were good at this, too. They came in and said, okay, if you had – okay – You have a friend of yours that you love to go see in Canada. So why don't you go look up on the computer, look up some packages for hotels and airplanes and that kind of combinations, that kind of stuff. So I went in there and I looked it up, and it was like, it was either $1,400 or $4,000. And I said, my goodness. And my angels came and said, what are you talking about? You got $15,000. So it was the ideal raising my consciousness up to realize the possibilities. So therefore, when I got the $25,000, I just went out and bought me a car. Because it was basically teaching you how to take headaches or take worries off your mind by going out and say, okay, we took care of this. And then
yeah.
I started thinking about if I ever won the lottery, what would you do? I would have it all deposited into a nice checking account, and I'd buy me an RV and travel the country, which I've always wanted to do. So what it does is it teaches you to go out and get what you want. We're so used to settling for things that we have a tendency to get stuck in that mindset.
Right.
I can't, you know, if I buy, like people go, when they have big money, they still buy cars on a three-year loan. And you're like, why?
Right.
That's just what they're taught. How come I hear music?
It's not me.
Not me.
You sure, Bree?
Yeah.
We can hear your iPod.
So my cat's acting up, though.
Just as long as I don't like that frog does on WB. Hello, my honey. Okay, sorry. yeah. So I'm just saying, it's like, look at the situation. Going outside, so it's great for you to go outside, get some fresh air, connect with nature, to relieve stress, gain some new insights, you know. Also, that's where you're creative. I don't know if you can actually go outside and hug a tree or not.
I can.
Good. The idea of trees and the idea of grounding is very important. I get a connection with your guardian angels, a lot of them.
Well, tell them I'm ready to go.
They say, once you tell
them. I can't put my house on the market until I got somewhere to go. And I'm okay with changing careers, although I do love real estate. And that's a portable career, you know. You can do that anywhere. And I can always buy another house, no problem. Dogs love the outdoors, not a problem. Got nowhere to go, problem.
Well, the thing I get the most here is the idea of romance and career. I mean, it's almost like the idea of getting that you love to write.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm any good at it.
You know, most talented people I've ever met wasn't too sure they were good at it. There were some people I used to sing with, and there was this one person who was a fantastic singer, but she didn't really think she was a good singer. And her name was Beyonce? Oh, okay.
to put a ring on it?
Yeah, so I'm just saying, some of these people that are like, boom, right now, back in the day, just wasn't really sure they were doing it, but they just wasn't really sure how good they was. I think it's more of a modest thing about themselves and the situation like
right.
that. So it's the idea that could also be to me, I've noticed this for a fact, that people being in the right mindset and being in the right place at the right time and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
That could be a lot to do with it, too, because when I was out in Colorado or if a girlfriend breaks your heart, man, God, I was writing like crazy.
Oh, yeah. And that's a great place to be inspired, too. I loved it there.
Yeah.
Pricey. Woo.
Where was that?
Keystone. you know, where they, you know, the skiing areas. I love them. I love the mountains. So.
Aspen?
Yeah, any of that. I'll take it.
Well, see,
Durango. Oh, that was nice.
Durango, yeah, I've heard about Durango. And then I was
they're good food.
I was in Grand Junction. Grand Junction was a weird place for me because it's very flat, and there's this huge mall in the middle of it, and the rest of it's dead. Now they do have some. I think they have some oil rigs there, but besides that, I was actually traveling the carnival, and we went to this place, and we actually played in the mall for like 3 weeks, and. But this place, I mean, the only thing, I mean, realistically, they had shopping centers and they had malls. And they're saying that there was only the other places they had work, unless you wanted to work out in the fields. And I heard that was pretty exhausting work.
Yeah. Sounds like where I live, you know, flat but the oil jacks. But kind of too, on a different note, I was also wanting to get more into my spirituality too, which may all be connected with the move, the love, the career, you know.
Yep, I was going to suggest.
But I can't find. find anybody, not that I need it, not that I don't trust what I already have, but, I mean, there's just certain mechanics to it that you need to learn, I believe, off someone.
Well, that's what I was going to say next. I was going to suggest that you work with me.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
And you help me?
Yeah, because I just sensed that there wasn't really any, wasn't a lot of trust, or not. I get trust, but not really someone around you that can actually help.
There's nobody here.
Yeah, so I said, it's one of those things I tell people all the time. It's like I can work with people and that kind of stuff. You know, I tell people go work. If you look at my website, people freak out because they're like, you charge this amount of money. I said, yeah, but once you get into the whole thing, I've had people who sit here and say those things, and they're kind of like, But when it's all over with, they're just kind of like, this was the best thing I ever did. And it wasn't just because of me. I think it's just the experience, the idea of connecting with angels. When I lived in Colorado, the one thing I used to love about these situations of people coming in, people would come in there and pay $25, and sometimes it would be like a two-hour session. And they're like, how
right.
can you do this? And I said, well, I work for myself, so I can do
yeah.
whatever I want.
Right.
And and it was one of those things that I tell people when you start really listening to your guides, they tell you, they guide you how to do things. So then people come to the door that I would charge $25 for 15 minutes.
Right.
And there's other people that come to the door, I would charge $25 for a flat fee. And there was other people I would sit there and go, this is $25, and they would hand me 60 or 40.
Right.
I actually got in an argument with a lady once because she said, $25, are you nuts? Here's 40. I was like, and finally I was like, okay, I'll take the 40. And then I used to do this with my cards. My angels would come to me and say, okay, it's time for your cards to move on. So give them to somebody. And then they would show me to give these cards to somebody.
I didn't know other people could use other people's cards.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things of passing them on. And it's one of those things. They actually say get someone giving you cards, it's actually more beneficial to you. Now, me personally, I've been drawing to cards and bought cards that were really cool. I mean, these ones I got now, I mean, this is like two decks put together. I have an Archangel
really?
Deck. It's an Archangel deck and a Healing with the Angels deck by Dorian Virtue. And I put both the decks together because I felt like the thing that came to me was Archangels and angels work together in heaven, so therefore why not put a deck together too? So I did that. Seriously, I'd have people walk in there and just go, this one lady argued with me. She goes, I can't take your cards. I got to give you money for those too. And eventually what happened was she ended up giving me money for those too because she would not take no for an answer.
Well, that's only right, I think.
I'm just saying. Boom, there it was. I'm sitting there going,
right.
It was just amazing. So I tell people, I wasn't bragging or nothing. I said, come into the shop. I'll show you what happens. One day some girl come in there, and I said, you know something? I've been here all day by myself and stuff like that. And she goes, I ain't got the money, but I'd like to get a palm reading. And I was, oh, okay, cool. You can help me out. And she goes, how's that? And you can help me practice. So come on in and sit down and do this whole thing. She kind of screamed out, and she goes, you're going to give me a free reading? I grabbed her by the arm and said, this is just for you. So
well,
could you keep
exciting.
It quiet? Yeah, so she came in, and I told people, this is the miracle part, right? She walks in. I did a palm reading for her. Well, at that time, about the time I was halfway into it, her uncle and her mom showed up. And what he did was, he was so impressed with what he saw, he paid for hers, he bought one, and his sister got one. So see, intentionally, I had no expectations of just sitting down with this girl and doing a palm reading for her, you know, doing a little bit of practicing because I had been there all day, you know. And then walk away with $65. So it was one of those things of, you know, do the service, the money will follow. And that was just a prime example right there of things happening before the objective of the certain things happening too as well. And
that's weird.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest...
Well, not weird in a bad way, but weird because I was thinking someone had done a reading on me before and they totally said that I had a Colorado connection, and I had no earthly idea what that could be.
When I see the whole thing, I keep seeing that there's a really strong connection because when I see the pine trees, I recognize those pine trees.
Well, it's somebody's woods and mountains, that's for sure.
Somebody's woods and mountains.
It's somebody's
woods
and mountains.
I wish you could see the visions in my mind right now of where I see, because you're talking about there's like White House, there's a White House, It's like I'm picturing this road that goes up into the mountains. I can see a creek going along the side. Okay. As you get to the top, it kind of gets like an S-y kind of thing. Not really.
Right.
but it's going up into the mountains, and it's like this is not where you like be living per se, but it's be something you go hiking.
Right.
There's a ridge that you'd be hiking up to. I'm just trying to give you some things that seem things seem familiar to you, of going hiking, and seeing this little section. It's about a quarter. It's about a mile and a quarter. It goes straight up the side of the first ridge of what's it called? Pike's Peak.
Oh.
It looks like a huge stairway going up the side of this thing. It's a bunch of railroad ties.
That is cool sounding. I would totally hike that.
Yeah, so we got the situation going on over here, and as you're walking up the street, you'll see there's a huge rock to the left. I mean, the rock is about the size of a garage. And the power lines are kind of draping across the top of it. And it has a it's got a multi top.
Hmm.
Okay.
Sounds
the creek.
Good.
The creek is the connection with the house, and then I was sitting here seeing the vision of this tree. There's like these oaks sitting next to the creek. And when the moon hits the top of it, it's not like a pizza pie. No, when the moon hits you, it looks like a bunch of it looks like fairies dancing on the top of the leaves on top of this oak.
That is so pretty sounding.
So, where do you want to go?
Colorado. Connection to Colorado. I'm reading it now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a question mark there because I was like, who? But, yeah, I mean, it sounds really good. And, like I said, I believe me, the getting out of here is, I'm ready. But, I mean, I'm not hardwired to wander around not knowing what's going on. It's just not in me. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it.
Wow, we have a big, let's see here, hello, I'm saying hello to everybody in the chat room, hello, Amy, I'm sorry, this is not the Amy you guys know, this is my friend Amy who lives in New Hampshire. Okay, and I sit there, see, I was looking at the card said that romance is not where you're at, romance is in where you're going.
Yeah, big, totally.
I get romance in Colorado. You should really keep your mind open to Manitou Springs in that area.
Or it could be anything where there's mountains. I'm open. I'm not dictating anything.
Well, I'm just saying open-minded. I see the visions I see. I've already been there.
I know, me too. And
I've seen the pine trees. The pine trees are huge. But also, if you ever hugged one, I was in Florida and I hugged a sycamore tree, a huge sycamore tree, and I was like, "Holy cow!" When I started to walk away from that, when I walked away from that tree, I felt like I got hit with this big energy bolt. I mean, those things are just people don't understand that, like when you hug somebody, there's an energy transfer. The one thing I was talking about before, I tell people before, in readings and that kind of stuff, sex doesn't come up. And the idea of connection between sex and the whole situation of spirituality, there's
mm-hmm.
like your Kama Sutra, and they're talking about in the point of two people becoming as one. We know what that's about.
Right.
There's a strong energy transfer that actually connects the two. That's what they're talking about. It actually, I think it's what they're talking about, the Bible and these other spiritual texts, is that's when you become one. You are
right,
at one.
Right, and I believe in that.
Yes, and we sit and look at the situation, and we're talking about, I was sitting there telling my friend, and I said, guys, this is my vision I got for Valentine's Day. What does a heart mean? And has anybody ever thought about what does a heart mean? It looks nothing like the human heart. So why is the heart made the way it is? You ever seen a human heart? It looks nothing like the heart on a Valentine's card.
No, it doesn't.
So I was sitting there focusing and said, okay, guys, what does this mean? So this vision came to me and said, a Valentine's card and the heart means it's the creation of a twin soul, a twin flame.
See, that's what I'm looking for. That'll be my
right.
next connection or energy transfer in that department because I'm willing to, like, pass on any other ones for the moment.
Well, what came to me was a Valentine's heart, okay? At the top of the heart, you see that's where the twin flames are created.
Right.
And then the loops is where the twin flames go out into the universe. They always end up at the end together.
I never thought about that.
Yes. Well, and I sit here and said, well, I said, picture this. What is a twin flame? I said, picture an essence and an energy that was so powerful it couldn't be contained in a body. So God made a man and a woman and put this essence in there. That's why we're always pulled to this one certain person in our lives. So when you're sitting there saying, I said, I told, and I do relationship counseling, I said, maybe the reason you can't find your significant other because you keep saying soulmate, and you keep attracting these learning lessons and stuff like that. I've also seen people who have a tendency in the sense of self-punishment. They put themselves in these things, as we call life lessons, that are not necessary, but they feel like they need to punish themselves because they made a wrong mistake, or made a wrong choice, or went down the wrong path, and whatever you want, however you want to put it. And they basically punish themselves. That's what we're talking about, punishing yourself. It's the idea of putting yourself in these situations with people and circumstances and that kind of stuff like that. So now you can sort of look at the situation instead of saying, why did I attract that? Why did I attract that kind of person? Maybe you should ask yourself what happened in the situation of getting there. But you might actually have done something you feel like you need to be punished for. So you actually attracted this punishment to go through. So
well, when we're you done with that.
Yeah, so when you sit here and look at the situation, what you're looking for is your twin flame. When you say, I want my significant other, you're saying that's a twin flame. That's not a soulmate.
Right.
You know, it's like I've seen soulmates that can't stay in the same room with each other.
And a soulmate could be a friend.
Exactly.
Non-sexual.
But you can't stay in the same room. I always tell people, when you find your twin flame, that's the person you can actually stay in the same room with, and you don't feel like you need to do anything. It's just the ideal of being in the same place at the same time and always knowing each other's there for you and never really have to know where they're at 24/7 because you know.
Right. They're connected.
Yes, they're very connected. So people call me and say, is this person mine? Or my significant other, or my twin flame. So if you got to ask the question, then I would say no. Because when you meet that person, unless you're really in denial, you know. Let's see what we got going here. I had to go. I have two different servers here because for some reason when I pulled my chat room up on Firefox, it wouldn't come up. But as soon as I put it up on, what's that damn thing called? what's it called? The other one, the
Explorer.
Yes, Internet Explorer. Then it would come up. I was like, that's so freaking weird. I'm going to bring...
Am I stealing time from someone?
No, I actually invited my friend on the show too, Amy.
Okay.
So she's into Reiki. She's a lot of times she has a lot of good insight too, and she's really talented. I don't want to sit there and I'm not making fun of her any kind of sense of the word. Isn't that right, Amy?
Yes.
Did I catch off guard?
No. I heard you talking.
Okay. But she actually was sitting in her parking lot and she left her lights on and her battery was dead. Well, she had this friend of hers that she was sending energy to because she does Reiki. And she said, well, she was sending her friend Reiki and she thought, what if I sent energy to my battery? Would that make a difference? And it did. She charged her own battery. She started a car and she left.
Yeah, that was great.
Well, and what was so funny about it is she sent me a link to this, what is it, like an advertisement or something? Or
it was for Quantum Touch, actually, but it's another energy modality that I'm going to be learning.
Yeah, Quantum Touch, where they're actually kind of like going off, they're saying this, I guess this thing happens more than we thought. I thought it was an isolated incident. I thought Amy was the one that first started it.
Not the case.
Not the case. I guess there's a lot of cases out there.
Right. People I wasn't aware of it, though, when I tried it. I just figured, hey, what the heck, right?
Exactly.
It worked, so.
Yeah, it did.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I wish I knew that when I was in high school. I used to leave my lights on all the time. I actually left my lights on and locked my keys in the car at the same time. That was a kicker, Waymer. So this is Amy. Amy, this is Sherry.
Hello, Amy.
And Bree's here too.
Hi, Bree.
Hi.
She fell asleep. No.
No.
I heard her.
Hi.
So Bree, with Sherry, do you pick anything up with Sherry?
I don't. At first, I
you know, that came to me was trust, and you explained it, so that's good.
Okay. It's one of those things, Bree. Sometimes with these things, it just takes a while. And sometimes it comes across quickly. Sometimes there are people you just don't pick things up with. I mean, I was in my shop. I mean, there was this one lady. I know for a fact I was picking up things with her, but there are people you talk to and do work with who refuse to. It's like we were talking about before about a girl wanting to find someone to love her for who she is. Only bad about the whole thing is she doesn't know who she is. So she doesn't realize the person she probably is with is probably loving her for who she is. She just never has found that out yet. And this is a, you know, those are situations just like that. So, it's progression.
That or they completely deny anything that you do come up with, so.
Yeah, that's what this lady did. She just sat there and said, nope, nope, nope. And then I said to her, I pick up your mother. And she goes, now why would my mother be coming through? I'm sort of going, why would she ask that question? She's so full of it. So, what happened was my partner, when I had my first shop, she did a reading for her first, and she said no to everything on her. And she goes, well, see if you can read for you. So she came in there, and I saw all the stuff, and she said, nope, 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 nope. I'm sitting there going, you know something? I looked right in her face and said, you might say nope, 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 but I feel like I'm on the right. I feel like this is exactly what's going on. I don't know why you can't see it, and that's not my job to really know why. I just know I am. My partner.
I hope you don't feel that way with me. I do believe you.
Thank you.
I'm not a nope.
No, I'm just saying. Sometimes in situations, there are people in denial big time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like some people, you know, when you're starting to read and that kind of stuff, and you don't have a lot of confidence in yourself. Sometimes you can look at those things and say, oh, I missed that one. When you wasn't missing anything. It was just somebody not being honest with you. Because I always tell people, when you come to – see, when I had my shop, the biggest thing I tried to do with everybody is I had unicorn throws on the wall. Track lighting in my part of the shop. We had two rooms. This is a shop. It was brown. It was two rooms. Each room had a door, like a French door with the windows, with those little square windows in it. Ouch. It had cone roofs, two cone roofs, and the kids used to call it the fairy castle. And we were right on the main stretch. And on my side, we had a little bathroom. I mean, this bathroom was so freaking small, man. I have never seen a sink stopper that small. It was, I mean, if you lost it, it probably would have fell down one of the cracks. It was just so freaking small. Plus, you really had to duck when you went into this place. And it was just a great place. I had track lighting, and what I did was I took a throw and draped it all over the whole thing. So the lighting, this track lighting wasn't for lighting at all. I had to actually get a lamp to do my palm readings because it was a purple, kind of a purplish color. And it just made people, it just made people feel relaxed and stuff. And that was my big thing. I burnt candles. I burnt incense. And everything in that side of the shop was, I would say, that was me. My personality, my cards were displayed, and I had these little these boxes I'd gotten for each one of my deck of cards. They were all blessed, so they protect my cards, and, you know, just all those things. And I had two big old throws with unicorns on them, and just loved the whole thing. Now, my partner's side, everything on my partner's side was just for show. She never burnt candles or nothing. She just sat there and waited for people to walk in the door. She was basically, I wouldn't say a Charlotte, but she was basically a show person. And she liked to play Mystics all the time. And I can't go the Mystic side. I'm talented. I do the kind of work, but I also don't want to scare people off. I want them to sit down and feel comfortable and relaxed so we can all sit here and talk and have a great time. And sometimes my readings do go that way. I've had people come back and I would say, give me flowers, candies, and all kinds of good stuff. I actually told a lady that, told a couple that. I said, you know, some guys do like flowers. See if you ever get a chance. You know, throw some roses my way. I'd love it. Be in heaven. And they came back and they couldn't find roses. They couldn't find flowers that late at night. And they came back a couple months later for another reading. So they found a box of candies with flowers on the outside. And I was like, Well, that was very thoughtful because it threw me off. I never expected it. They just kind of showed up. And here you go. We couldn't find any flowers, but here's a flowery box with some chocolates in it. Chocolates. Now I can deal with that. Yeah. So we did. But it's just one of those things, opening yourself up to the whole situation. Seriously, Bree, I think you're very talented. It's just one of those things of coming into your own.
Yeah.
Don't laugh. Oh, that's right. You laugh all the time anyway, don't you?
No.
But, no, seriously, I think you're very talented. You just have to work on it, okay?
Yeah.
Any questions? Just ask, okay? Some people say I'm psychic and I'm a good teacher, so you never know, man. Try it out. I might just be. And same thing with Jess. I love hearing her giggle. She just has this personality. It just makes you want to go, how could you think it? How could you think anything bad? Just never crossed my mind one bit. Okay, guys. So, Amy,
yes,
have you been listening to Sherry? Would you have any insights to Sherry? I think she's a healer.
I really haven't been listening too closely. I've been kind of chatting. Sorry.
I don't know about you, man. All that chatting and not listening? Come on.
Guilty as charged, I can say.
Well, as you're sitting here and you're kind of like talking, you know, Sherry.
Yes?
Just say something to Amy and let her hear the vibrations of your voice. A lot of energy there.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Sherry.
I am sorry, something popped on my screen. But anyways, I've enjoyed the reading.
No one's ever said that to me before. Something just popped on my screen. Okay. No, seriously, Sherry. Call me after the show, and what we'll do is I want to schedule some sessions.
Okay.
There'll be a fee, but I can give you the first 20 minutes, and we'll just kind of like an introductory kind of thing.
Okie doke.
And then we'll sit here and do. This is me, okay? Because it's like saying, okay, sit down. I really want to talk to you after the show and get some insights on the whole thing because I really do feel like you're a very powerful healer. I also want you to stick around for the 5 minutes because, see, I'm building a five card pyramid for you. Now we've done the first, so we did the foundation. We did the second level. How I do this is usually along the idea of working with chakras and that kind of stuff. And I usually do seven cards.
Right.
So I want to do a session with you later on, which is a seven card, but it's a seven. It goes over the seven chakras, and this is an insight to. For some reason, it just felt like it was more of a five card thing. It seemed like you're open and you hear guidance clearly. It seems like you're very clairvoyant, so you don't really have problems with those. But it seemed like it's the lower chakras, like your foundation and that kind of stuff.
And I'm a newbie to it, so.
Right. So when you sit here and look at the ideal, the root, because the first five cards you put down or whatever spread you're doing, this is a foundation. That's your foundation. Just like any pyramid has a foundation, this is what I see with this one. So we've got guardian angels, prosperity, courage, passion, and the outdoors. So these are your foundations. And you can look at the situation, why they'd be foundation. The outdoors.
Sounds good, though. Is that good?
Yes, it's great.
Okay.
So as we go through the pyramid, the pyramid usually tells you how to maintain or how to correct certain things within that part of the body of the reading, which is also in the body of you. Because you have to have balance within yourself, not just the energy and the chakras themselves, but also balance with your body. So it's the idea of finding out what energy is. But
Oops. Sorry, that was really loud.
We'll be right back. After a word.
I apologize.
That's okay. I just, sometimes it catches me off guard. I kind of jumped out of my chair for a minute, but I'll be all right. But the second level talks about career transition. Your life purpose is triggering a blessed career change, which could also be a significant sign which way you should go too. Because I keep getting, the reason I said focus on Colorado around Manitou Springs and that kind of area there is the idea of when you start looking, and you're not looking for anything, but you're, what you're doing is keeping your mind open. So as you're checking out these places, things will jump out at you, like jobs and work and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And from what I've heard, Colorado really has a really high rate of employment out there.
Right.
And the job rate, the job. Huh?
It's the same thing with North Dakota, I hear.
North, oh, really?
Yeah.
But North Dakota's too cold.
Well, there's your limitation there.
Oh, is that a limitation?
Yeah.
My guidance is saying Colorado, North Carolina is for everybody else. So there's plenty of room since I'm not going. That's why I look at
North, North Dakota, yeah, there's plenty of room there for a lot of people.
Yeah,
they actually have like a, I think it's like $500 million surplus.
Really?
They're just trying to figure out what to do with it. Yeah.
Won't they just send a you know, like 25% to me, and I'll tell them what to do with it?
Right.
I also heard that I was on my friend. She went to. She's about to. She's out in Arizona right now too. And there's a couple of people I know out in Arizona. They were talking about. There's a lot of apartments out there. A lot of apartment houses and that kind of stuff that are empty. I mean, they're almost giving them things away for people to live in and that kind of stuff. I'm not saying Arizona. I'm just saying. In that area, there seems like there's a lot of things going on. You got Sedona, which is also a vortex of energy, too, as well. It's a very spiritual place. I'm just saying, when I was out in Manitou Springs, I heard people talk about that, too. I also told people, I said, if you want to check it out, too, go on thetravelchannel.com and look up the 10 most haunted places in the United States, and you'll find Manitou Springs.
Hmm.
And if you also find Manitou Springs is kind of a cool place because I was there for a period of time, and it just, there's so many different kind of people there, artists. When I was out there, I hadn't painted in a long time, and I went to this lady's shop, and she was looking for someone to paint a mural on her wall, and she told me what she wanted to do, and I ended up doing it for her. And that was, I see why these people charge $400 and $500 for these murals. Or even more, because it's a lot of work. I had to go in and basically, I didn't do a, most people go in and paint the white background or a grayish background. What I did was he wanted Irish mountains, or actually Irish cliffs in the ocean and that kind of stuff. And they have a lot of moss and green and like a lot of vegetation on them. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to paint it, and she had green walls. And I was hoping that the green paint would bleed through to give the mountains a greenish look to them, like they had moss and stuff on them. And actually, when I got done with the whole thing with the ocean coming in, a big old rock sitting down at the bottom with the cliffs on the side and the ocean coming in with a unicorn. And we had a unicorn up on one ridge with its hoof up in the air, up on a rock, basically saying, this is my territory. Very strong. And then we had the mermaid. And I swear to you, when you walked in that place, the green came through, which gave it a nice little tint to it. But I swear you could feel it. Like the Irish, like, you know, it's kind of cold in Ireland, and you could feel that when you walked in there. It really had a nice effect. Too bad the lady didn't like it after we got done with it, but it was interesting. But I'm just saying, when you go to these places, people, you know, I'm not sure about writing, that kind of stuff. But when I got to that place, it was just like anything and everything. I would sit in my shop, and I would draw pictures, I would sketch. I hadn't done this in a long time. All of a sudden, these things just started coming back to me very quickly. So, expect to see the same thing happen with yourself too, Sherry.
Okay.
Talented and that kind of stuff. Because the second level was career transition, romance, divine order, and healthy lifestyle. So it looks like a lot of change.
Divine order and healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Everything is happening exactly out needs to right now. Look past the illusion and see why. Or we can say, see the underlying order. But it's like, you've probably seen this before, too, when you were in a certain place and that kind of stuff, when you got there, everything at that point made sense, why you were there.
Right.
This is going to be a eureka moment of almost like tracing everything back to the point of where you're at. take it all in.
Yeah.
And then when you go to the, and then see, the one thing about the pyramid too. Somebody really wants to
ignore it. I'm getting rid of it.
But see, we had the situation of career transition and romance, but those cards are always touching other cards. That's what I like about the pyramids. There's always three cards touching each other. On yours is we have courage and prosperity. That were the first two cards. And then on top of that one, we had career transition.
Mm.
Okay,
so they are related.
Right. So you have those three together. And then we have romance, which is also really located to the prosperity and your guardian angels.
Mm.
And then divine order card, which was the next one, is connected to your passion and your guardian angel. So it's almost like listening to your guardian angel to see, okay, the divine order here is saying everything's happened what it's supposed to. So this is the ideal, this passion is coming up, this renewed passion in your love life and career.
Jesus. Okay. Sorry. Just when I was getting it.
Yeah. So now we got to start all over again. Not really. But see, there was divine order and healthy lifestyle around the passion, your renewed passion and your love life and career. So you can see the ideal transition and moving, how these all work together. But it's also talking about career transition and romance. So that's why when I sit here, look at these two cards and say, okay, you look at that level, it just tells you that this is after a major move or a major change. And
oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Oh, this is just really difficult.
That is my bag. I'm so sorry.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's one of those things that happens. I just suggest next time you get a ringtone like that, you should get something with music, like a bomba or something like that.
I'm going to turn it off. How about them apples?
Okay. But then we had career transition, because I'm going to the third level. So we had career transition and romance. Okay, and then we put a card on top of those.
That's me turning it down. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, Bree.
Yes.
How do you feel? And she'll tell us in a minute. We'll be. Bree?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
No, I was just saying, with the reading you're hearing, would you like to have one of these for yourself?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay. I'm just saying. I bet you could handle some insight right now, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was kind of cool. You're sitting there saying, I'm going to meet somebody in a month.
I was like, yeah.
You're getting that strong impression that's going to happen? How's that feel about that? Is that something private I shouldn't have brought up?
No. No, you're fine.
Okay. I'm like, okay, she got quiet. that was actually discussed in a private conversation. Oh, shoot. Okay.
No.
Okay. So make sure. How about you, Amy?
What's that?
Has anybody come to your house? They're asking for a jump?
No.
I don't know if you could actually do that as a career. I'm actually a walking charger. You could get you one of those outfits and a cape.
I haven't made my cards up yet.
You what?
I haven't made my business cards up yet.
What are you going to have on your business cards?
Sure.
Mrs.
Reiki Master anyway. That'll be after Saturday. That's what I'll be.
You'll be a Reiki master?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to start taking clients and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying. You could come on the show, and if you want to advertise, feel free to come on.
All right.
We could promote you for a show. That'd be no problem. No, seriously. This lady here is the walking ever-ready.
Right.
she's the Energizer Bunny.
Well, I appreciate your reading.
Oh, no problem. I'm not done yet either.
Okay. I didn't want you to think I was ungrateful. I'm so sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. Just I always tell people, it's one of those things where you sit and go, if you feel like making a donation to the show or something like that, go right ahead and do what you want to do. If not, you're welcome. It's one of those things. It just happens. Let's see. See, the one thing I was talking about, career transition and romance, on top of that, it says beloved one, which is the Archangel Chamel, which is the angel of love. It talks about helping you with your spiritual soulmate relationship. Now, see, I don't have a twin flame in this deck. So a lot of times when I see those things, the idea of focusing on what you're focusing on, that kind of translate with the cards. So we take the cards. That's why I always tell people when you do card readings, they don't always mean the same with their each person. It's just a focus point, all right?
Okay.
And these are definitely talking to each other. So basically what it's saying is, it's the idea of spiritual, and it's a spiritual soulmate relationship. So it's the idea of looking for that special soul that okay, I'm trying to say this right. You're looking for that special soul to help you with your situation. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. It says harmony. So basically, we're talking, that's why I see this as a twin flame, because it talks about beloved one, we're helping your spiritual soulmate relationship. And the next to that one says harmony. So basically, it's going to be someone who's going to reflect, and it's going to, you guys are going to basically, what's that word? Oh, compliment each other.
Awesome.
And then we have the situation where it's touching the divine card and romance too as well. So it's definitely, these are all connected to the romance, which is also connected to the career. So it's filtered throughout the whole thing. And then we got the outdoors. And then every time we get the outdoors, we get a picture of the trees and that stuff, which we know is not where you're at. It's where, you know, cause the format and that kind of stuff. But then the next card talks about divine order and healthy lifestyle. And it talks about celebration. So it definitely shows that something's happening quickly here too. I would definitely say that a lot of things are going to really change before June. I would see you almost tromping in the mountains by June 1st, if not.
Oh my goodness, that's excellent.
Because then we got the next two cards. This is almost to the last. Okay, so we had freedom and support. Okay, the idea of freedom is the ideal of just let go and say, okay, whatever it goes, that kind of thing. It's just the idea of opening up to unconditional love of everything and everyone. The support is the ideal of the angels and guides that are working with you.
Ah.
And then your final card is blessings.
Wow.
So when we look at the
cards, this is a good reading.
So then we look at the cards. We see we can also go down each side of the pyramid, okay? So blessings. Focus. It's like opening yourself up to blessings brings freedom into your life, which helps you have that. I'm sorry, I just got the mic. And then, let me do it one more time. Blessings, by focusing and opening yourself up to the blessings, creates freedom in your life. It also brings into your spiritual soulmate and your twin flame as well, because you actually have Archangel Jamel twice. And then the idea of this blessed career change is the ideal of being out, being exactly where you want to be at and with all the love you have. It's just the ideal of having that courage to let it happen to which the way it is. And
so
then
I
we go down.
Just
sorry.
Sit tight then, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But then, see, that was your left side. Now the right side of the pyramid says blessings come from opening up to the support that's around you, which creates celebration in your life, which also enhances your life and your health, and also makes you feel like no matter where you're at, you're always outside. Love mm-hmm. is where it's at. Okay?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Give me a call after the show. If you want that number,
okay.
I'll give that number to you right now.
Okay, hold on. Let me catch up with you.
Okay.
Is it on your website? Is it that 760?
740-601-9835.
Better let me write that down. Say it again. Sorry.
Yeah, so if there's someone else in the queue, just let me answer some questions for you before we go. 561. Just wait right there and I'll get to you.
Jesus.
I just jumped out of my freaking... Now I gotta
that was my bad. I'm sorry.
Now I got to go change my shorts. Thank you.
You and me both. Okay. What was it again? I didn't get it.
551. 551. Hold on. I'm going to get to you in a minute. The number is 740-601-9835.
Okay.
And go to my website, too, and check it out.
Okay. So it's 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, 15 or 20 minutes would be great.
Okay. Thank you
Alrighty.
So much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks,
you have
Bree. Thanks, Amy.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Let's see here. We actually have one more caller. Okay, guys?
Okay.
Can you handle it?
Well, we'll see, huh?
I know you guys can. I'm just kidding, okay? I can feel your strength as we speak, okay? There we go. Area code 551. How are you? Welcome to the
hey.
Show. What's your name?
My name is Manny. How's it going?
I don't know. You sound familiar, man.
You're probably picking up on my energy from the last time you called me.
Oh,
what's
yes.
up, Donnie?
I'm doing good, man. How you doing? We got
doing
Bree,
all right. I just...
Bree here, and Amy, my friend from New Hampshire, is here.
Oh, cool. Hi, guys.
Hi there.
Yeah, I just got out of work, and so you're having a show, so I decided to call in. Wanted a little reading, if that was okay.
Just a little one.
Just a little one, not a big one. Just a really small one.
Okay, no problem. Just ask some questions, man, and then we'll get started.
Well, I met this girl on Friday. I followed your advice, and it worked pretty good. I actually talked to a woman at a club, and I hung out with her Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. She seems a little crazy to me, but at the same time, she seems pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like there's something in her past that's bothering her. And I want to know if you guys pick anything up about it.
Huh. Hmm.
The one thing that I see or feel, I see like a violet color that makes me want to say that you already have a spiritual connection. I don't know if it's a past life thing, Donnie, if you pick up anything on that or not, but
mm-hmm.
Also that really, you know the answer to that question, and I don't know what the answer to that question is, but
mm-hmm.
you sense it.
That's yeah, I just...
Yeah, because I sit here and look at the situation and go, yeah, past lives, definitely. I definitely get three past lives together. And one of my comes up very strongly is hanging out in the 1820s. 1820s, not 1920s, 1820s. Almost at the beginning of the gold rush in California, which it was a big one before, the big one. People hanging out, it's just the idea of big this, that, and the other. I see a lot of mountains, a lot of snow. Now there's a ridge. God, where's this at? I get the impression it's, I wouldn't say Washington.
Now, when you said that, I feel like this open field with a bunch of
mm-hmm.
pine trees in the distance.
Well, this one here comes out there. I've seen this before. It's like going to, when they were putting the railroad first went out to west, they went through a lot of mountains and stuff. Almost like you get Wyoming and North Nevada, almost like Vegas and that kind of stuff, but it's past Vegas, and it's around the winter months. I get the idea of violet with her, too, but I also get orange, and there's a lot of things where she has some things going on with the past. I don't know, Manny, have you ever had any problems? Well, I wouldn't say problems, but attracting women who have been sexually molested when they were younger?
That's exactly what I'm picking up with this girl, and that's why I'm calling you guys up to, like, find out, because I just met her. I don't feel comfortable saying, hey, what's up, you know, nice to meet you. My name is Manny. Have you ever been sexually molested?
Right.
No, you know, it's, but, like, I got it, like, all around her. I don't know why, and I just feel like it was a family member of hers.
Yeah, I do. I do, too, and I get it really close. I almost got the idea of a person who is, I don't think she's really, how would I put this? I feel like her mother's married and she has a stepfather, and I feel like her father was the one who actually did this to her.
Mm-hmm.
So
like,
sure.
I added her on Facebook, and her father,
writes on her wall like every other day and writes, you know, like, it seems like he tries to build a relationship with her, and at the same time, she's just, like, kind of ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that feeling before. Like, you know, when I first met her, I don't know why, she's very wild. Like, when we went out, she was very wild and crazy to a point, and I just felt like there was a reason why she was doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just picked up, like, you know, family problems in the beginning, and not necessarily, like, a relationship. It's just, like, something with her father or uncle, or just, like, a male.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was getting, definitely picking up on the idea. Because when you asked the question, when you said her and was talking about it, the first thing that came up was father.
Yeah.
You know, it was a father came up, and then you sit her and talk about he's trying, like, he's trying to have a relationship with her, where you feel like he's worked through some things, but she's still... There's some of it she knows, but some of it she doesn't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the stuff that you're picking up that she's dealing with is the idea of trying to remember.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that she blocked out because of, I guess you'd say, self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
She's crazy, but she also seems like she has very high sexual energy.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said she seems... Okay, what'd I say? I said she seems like she's very... Well, it's very crazy, but I also get the idea of a very high sexual energy.
Yeah, that's her.
You can cut it with a knife.
Yep. I don't know, like, she's just, like I said, I met her and stuff. I am very attracted to her. And at the same time, like, I think we hung out once where she was, like, completely sober and, you know, just, like, talking, and we just had a great relationship. It's just, like, mm-hmm. the day that I met her, you know, we were out at a bar and stuff, and she was just completely, like, wild. And I'm like, okay, should I hang out with her one more time and see if, you know, she's actually, like, a normal person, or if this is, like, her, period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also, Johnny, getting something, like, around with her security. Something happened around the age of 3. Seeing a bunch of red with the number 3 there. I'm not sure if that
mm-hmm.
be that abuse or if it would be something entirely different. I don't get that, the orange there at all with that, or any
mm-hmm.
thoughts of it being officially abuse related, but something to do with her security and stability at the age of 3.
Well, I get the orange because the orange represents the sacral chakra, which is actually
right,
around the sexual
right.
organs.
Right. Yeah, I'm seeing the red. That's why I say I don't hear anything about it being or what it is exactly, so I can't say what it is. But
well, a lot of times you will have your sacral chakra will go from orange to red because of the energy. You know, it's like it could be anger. You know, anger mixed with that whole thing. Because I also sit there and would sense with her that this craziness and kind of like the energy wild craziness, when I look at her root chakra, which is brown, which, you know, we need more stability there too, but it's also lack of groundingness too, because she doesn't know how to ground herself, you know, because of some of the things that have happened to her and that kind of thing too. Because I got the idea of being sexually molested from the ages of 3 to 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then having things come back in around 8, and then... I feel like this. There's a lot of anger around that too, where it's almost like he's angry with his wife. Might sound crazy why he did this to his daughter, because he was angry with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like lashing out.
She lost. She had a twin brother, and I know she lost her twin brother. I don't know how recent, but I don't think it was that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about something about, like, the brother being molested. She didn't bring herself up. And I think it was, like, they were both molested. And it just, like, even before she said all this, it just came in so strong to me. I just, you know, like, what are you going to do? You just met someone. You're not going to just open up a conversation like that, you know?
I'm just getting a really strong impression that they were made to do things with each other too.
Yeah, because I was sitting there going, they have a tendency to express it where she would say he was molested, And then if you talk to her, he will say that she was. They never talk about themselves.
He passed away.
What happened to him? Do you know what happened to him? Because
I have
almost like a violent thing around him, like a gun or something.
I have no idea. I know they used to go to the shooting range all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something that you picked up. I don't know how he passed away. I remember because I was.
He was really
about a friend
good.
Yeah, I was talking about a friend of mine who passed away, you know,
mm-hmm.
serving the country. And that's when she talked about her twin brother, who she recently lost. And I was like, oh, was he serving the country? And she just said no. But, you know, I didn't ask afterwards. You know,
I don't know. That's what, I mean, it's kind of funny how you talk about someone dying in a violent way, and then she brings up her brother, which kind of strikes a memory within herself. Because I keep getting gun. And I feel like the guy was actually really good at, almost like he was a marksman. So, I mean, I just feel like there's something about the whole thing. Gosh, I don't want to say suicide, but there seemed like there's a hint there somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something. It's definitely something. I don't think that, you know,
mm-hmm.
he's 20. He was 22, 23. Like, it's not natural. It's definitely not natural causes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, not generally at that age. It's not natural causes.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, when you sit and talk about it, the first thing came up was gun.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you would also see gun wearing yellow glasses.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got he was a marksman. And a marksman could also say he was just very good at shooting. And he could also put a spink if it was like a suicide or someone killed him, would look at the situation of an accidental death.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like there's a gun involved.
I don't know. I didn't really, like, think too much about it. I just thought mainly about, you know, the whole thing. It just came in so strongly about the whole, like you said, the whole molesting and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I definitely think that you're right on that.
Yeah?
I don't know. I'm supposed to hang out with her on Friday, I believe, again.
Hey, Mandy, the best thing to do in a situation like this is just get to know her for, like, 6 or 7 months, even a year.
Yeah.
You know, there might be a little thing here and there. Because it seems like you do have a tendency to, like you said before, like Amy said, you guys, you do have a connection, and it's that could actually work just by letting things go and flow, you know. Because it seems like I feel like there's things that you're going to say that's going to help her, where she's going to open up to you anyway. Because it's almost like she feels like she gets crazy sometimes, but that's a defense. I'm not really wanting to express or not really wanting to feel drinking, getting crazy. She also smokes too, right?
Cigarettes, yes. Marijuana, I'm not too sure, but I'm almost positive, probably once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I got
she asked me like how I felt about that, and I said, well, I don't touch it or anything like that.
Yeah, usually when they ask, there's usually a connection there if they're asking about it.
Exactly.
You're cool with it or not. Does she also smoke Marlboro Lights?
She smokes Marlboro Smooths. It's like the new menthol type of cigarette. It's
no, I know
not
which one
really menthol. Yeah.
Does she have long brown hair?
Yeah.
Smooths. I think she might have smoked some Marlboro Lights at one time, or maybe she just a person that when she doesn't have them, she'll smoke anything.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have a preference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was sitting there looking at the whole thing going, that's the biggest thing I got with her is just go with the flow. Yeah, she might act crazy and this and the other, but, you know, just write it out. And it's like, you know, the more, I really do feel like she feels good, like she can really talk to you. So let her open up about the whole thing, okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Because I feel like in 6 months she's going to.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I am. I usually take things slow anyway, so.
I'm just saying, when you hear this, it's going to be a lot more than you think.
Uh-huh.
And I think you're also going to be very surprised because she tells you everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Think it's going to freak me out?
I think what, to me, it comes off more of not freaking you out. It's more like freaking you out because she actually told you the details. That she feels that comfortable with you. So the details she tells you is not going to freak you out. It's almost like you're sensing it, but you're going to be kind of freaked out because she told you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And you know, anyway, that there's nothing that she could have done to stop it. It's not like you think that she wanted anything to do with that.
No, yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, like, when we hung out, and stuff, I already felt her, like, little by little opening up. Like, we just met, like I said, and, you know, she told me about her brother and stuff like that. So, like, I do feel like she feels comfortable with me already at this early stage. I'm just,
mm-hmm.
you know, just like I said, there's something about her. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but there's definitely something about her.
Mm-hmm. You guys were back in the 1820s looking for gold.
Now I'm 2011, still looking for gold. Oh, man.
Hey, it's one of those things, you know. I always tell people these things really have a way of opening things up when people know each other and just mm-hmm. trusting the whole thing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, like I was telling you too, like it kind of freaks me out the whole, you know, when she does drink, she's extremely wild, crazy. Like, I don't know, just, I don't know if I could handle it and stuff. And then I had a conversation, we hung out on Saturday and we just watched a movie and we were just talking and it was really good. It was just talking conversation, that's it. Sunday, she had a couple of drinks, like when we went out for drinks, and she was nuts again. And like today, a little while ago, she called me. We were on the phone for about an hour, and it was just good talk, good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm kind of like freaked out about hanging out with her when she drinks.
Yeah, but there's definitely a mechanism there going on. So
yeah,
like I said, just go with the flow, would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, be okay.
All right, sounds good then. Sounds good.
That's what I get. So, you know, it's just one step at a time. And I think, actually, the more you let go of the whole thing, the more it's going to progress quicker.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's strange. I don't know how to put it. Just strange.
Yeah. But, you know, the more you start getting to know her, you're going to realize it's not really a strange thing while you're together.
Yeah.
Which you've dealt with that before.
Yeah. I've dealt with many things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in a relationship and been talking to a lot of girls, and I don't know, that instant connection hasn't really been there. And even though this is like a rocky start,
right,
I do feel like a connection, as weird as that sounds.
Doesn't sound weird at all.
Right, just want to make sure, because I don't know, I just never, like, it's never happened to me before. Like, oh my god, like, this girl is like so crazy and this girl is the complete opposite of me, but I'm like connected. And I've like met so many people that like they're finishing my sentences before I could even finish them, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of chemistry there, but I just didn't feel a connection.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's it.
Yeah. And it was just like I was picking up so many things. Like, it was just, my mind was just going around in circles. And like I said, the whole molesting thing, I just picked up. And I was like, you know what, I have to talk to Donnie about this. I know Donnie will pick something up. And I just want confirmation in it, because I just have a strong feeling that this is what's going on. Well, mm-hmm. what went on.
and I have a feeling this is why she acts the way she acts when she goes out.
Yeah.
Very
believe
cool.
me. Yeah. But like I said, go.
I'm going. Hey, I listened to your advice. You know, you told me stop being shy, go up to a girl and talk to them. And I told you, dude, I've never done it before. I don't go up to girls at bars or at clubs. I don't start conversations. I'm a really shy guy. And I don't know what came into me. I just playing around, actually. I just started looking at her, and she waved me over, and I just had a full conversation and asked her for her number. And then went into her car and took her headrest and said, if you don't text me, you're not getting your headrest back. I don't know if that sounds a little creepy, but it works for me.
You were freaked out by what she said.
What happened?
What
hey,
she said?
Sorry,
you know,
I just had to say that.
I just try to break the ice.
Yeah.
So it was a cold night, and it was her friend, my friend, and myself, and we just went into her car to have her to, you know, to finish her cigarette before we left. And I just took her headrest, and I told her, I'm like, listen, if you want your headrest back, just promise that you'll text me tomorrow.
What'd she say?
She was like, all right, I promise I'll text you tomorrow. Just give my damn headrest. Then next thing you know, the next morning I woke up and there was a text message saying, hey, good morning. A matter of fact, it wasn't even in the morning. As soon as she got home, she told me she had a great time and she had a good time and she was happy that she met me and everything. And then in the morning I got a text message. So I got double whammy. So for anybody out there listening, you know, just go into a girl's car and take her headrest. It works all the time.
Hey, to each their own. Headrest. You're looking for direction? Looking for the break the ice? Find something heavy. Okay.
Oh, man. Well, I'm new at this, man, so I had to do something, and I didn't know what to do. So
yeah, I remember this conversation. I remember the conversation we had that night, too. I remember that conversation I told you because we was talking about George and Seinfeld. Remember that episode where he did the opposite of what he usually would do? And next thing you know, he got a date with him. Next thing he dated something, he got a job. So I was like, let's try that one. That works pretty good.
I mean, like I always told you, like, you know, if a girl comes up to me and starts a conversation, I could continue with the conversation. My problem is actually going up to someone. I don't know if it's fear of rejection or just the typical shyness of me, but I just really had no problem talking to her. And we were talking the whole time and we hung out 3 days in a row. It wasn't me asking her, hey, you know, you want to hang out today? She was like, well, I see that we're going in circles, and I just feel like you're not going to ask me if I want to hang out. So I'm just going to ask you, do you want to hang out today?
Right.
And I was like, yeah, sure, why not?
There you go. So,
and she's already making plans for this weekend, so we'll see.
Life in the big city.
There you go.
So... Well, guys, I got to get off and go schedule an appointment with somebody else. And plus, I got to show at midnight, so.
Cool.
All right, Donnie.
Yes.
We'll talk to you another time.
Oh, Amy's not going to stick around for the midnight show, huh?
I got to work in the morning.
I don't care. So do I. I got to work on getting up, so.
I got to be up by 6 to get the kids get ready, going and all that.
That's okay. I was just joking. Okay. Well, thank you for being here. Thank you for, as always, thank you for your insight. And you definitely got to come on your show after you get certified as a Reiki master, okay?
I certainly will. Well, you know I will.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
No problem. Thanks,
right,
Manny.
Thank all righty.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye, guys.
Bye.
You guys have a good one. Let's see. I missed. Okay, Bree.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm sorry if I asked that a lot, but you know.
No.
Oh, it's okay?
I need to make more coffee. I was like.
Dozing off.
I was starting to get out of it, so it's time for me to make coffee.
So you were dozing off, right? Be honest. You were dozing off.
I was.
It's okay. You know, there's been a couple of times where I've actually done interviews on this show, and I'll be sitting there, and everybody's like, okay, Donnie, you have any more questions for me? I'm like, what? Oh, hey, yeah, sure do. I got a couple more questions. Shoot, I was sort of trying to regroup and try to figure where I was at. You know, because when I was sitting there doing that reading for Sherry, I didn't realize we only had 3 minutes left. And I was like, oh my goodness. Where did the hour go? And she was like, thank you for the reading. I'm like, hey, if no one else is going to show up and get any readings, we might as well just do an extended one for her. And then I was trying to prove my friend Wanda that I can actually do readings like that, and then this lady will become my client. Because Wanda told me that doing those kind of readings, why would people come to you?
Right.
And I sat there and said, no, I've gotten lots of clients like that. I think, you know, honestly, personally, working with people and that kind of stuff and giving them the full extent of everything, they get the full picture. So it makes it easier for them to give, you know, to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you go do your, drink your coffee and...
I know, get my energy back. I'll have a wicked crash.
Yes. If I don't hear from you, it means you must have crashed, and I'll see you tomorrow. But
I'll be up.
Okay, so let me go take. Huh?
You're doing a midnight show tonight?
Yeah. Why?
Oh, okay.
You sure?
Yeah.
Mhm.
Do you want me to come on tonight?
Let me think about that for a minute.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's. And do me a favor. Try to use. It's amazing. 7. That's all I can tell you. It's just amazing. And the digit. Is that the way we saw it? The number 7. I don't know. Maybe I should go back and try to get. I didn't have to do that. So. Maybe it's the earthquake. It's the earth. Huh?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying try a couple times. And then everybody I've ever worked with usually has a problem getting in there. I don't know what the problem is. I guess it could be earthquake time.
Maybe. I can't even sign in with mine.
Yeah, so it might be actually, it might be your server. You know, like the, I don't know how the network works. In the internet, do they also work through the towers too? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so you might have had an earthquake and messed up a couple of towers or something. I do not know. But you shouldn't have any problem getting in there. Anyway, I'll go. Oh, shoot. That lady has to call me because I didn't get her number. Anyway.
Oh, oops.
Yeah, I didn't get her number, so let's hope she calls and that kind of thing. So I'll see you at midnight then?
Yeah.
Alrighty. I'll talk to you then. Alrighty?
Alright.
Thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, you're welcome.
Alrighty.
I wasn't very talkative, but oh well. Alright.
Maybe what? I'm just waiting for the day that you are, so.
I know. I did really good because I did pick up trust on Sherry, and I should have spoke up, but I never did.
That's okay. You got to find your own voice. Everybody else did.
Yeah.
Since we found it, now I don't shut up, so, you know. That's just me. So, I will see you at midnight. And thank you again. Bye-bye.